So, as I said, our first speaker is Guido Vanderhoeven. He is an extension specialist and senior lecturer in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. His extension responsibilities include income taxation of individuals and business entities, farm management and the profitable continuation of family farms into succeeding generations. Guido is an enrolled agent before the IRS and presents income tax educational programming in North Carolina and across the U.S. He has 40 years of experience in taxation with a focus on farming and natural resource issues. He is the president of the Land Grant University Tax Education Foundation, Inc., which publishes approximately a 700-page text for income tax training of professional tax practitioners. Guido also hails from a farm and continues to own a farm and sits on the National Farm Income Tax Education Task Force. Finally, he is our U.S. representative to the International Farm Management Association. With that, Guido, I'm going to turn it over to you and look forward to hearing your presentation.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and good afternoon or good morning to everyone as there may be. This will be a very high-level, quick presentation of some of the things in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was recently passed. Having said that, I like to start off with one of my heroes, and that's Will Rogers, and he basically says that the difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get any worse every time Congress meets. And it's kind of where we are with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but what I want to do is split it into individual changes and then those that are focused on business, and hopefully we will be helpful to those that are listening. I'm sure that folks have seen in the popular press that the tax rates did change. You can see the 2017 rates beginning at 10% and the highest marginal tax rate at 39.6. We still have 7 tax rates beginning again for 2018 at 10%, but you see there have been several adjustments. The 15% is now 12%, the 25 is 22, the 28 is 24. 33 drops a point at 32, the 35 remained the same, and the 37% is now the highest tax bracket, or the tax rate on the brackets. The brackets themselves have expanded, and so less tax is expected to be paid on the same amount of income or even increasing income over time. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is a temporary legislation. It's good for December 31 to 2017, those tax years beginning after that date, and before January 1 to 2026. However, you may be aware that Ways and Means have released and are moving forward with 3 separate pieces of legislation dubbed Tax Cuts 2.0, and the focus of those 3 pieces of legislation is to make the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act permanent, or as permanent as Congress would have it to be. The estates and trusts, their tax rates are also progressive, beginning at 10%, but you see there's only 4 brackets there, and at 37% is the highest. The point that I want folks to take away from this is that with trusts becoming more popular as an estate planning tool as well as a succession tool, just note that taxable income above $12,500 is taxed at the highest marginal rate for estates and trusts, and that's at 37%. So the takeaway point for that is that if you have a trust operating, you want to distribute the income to the individuals so that they would be taxed at more favorable rates at the individual level, as opposed to keeping it inside the trust or the estate to be taxed at the high rate. One big thing that I'm sure folks are well aware of is that the standard deduction was increased for tax years beginning again after December 31, 2017 and before January 1, 2026. Married filing joint filers are $24,000, had a household $18,000, single and married filing separately are at $12,000 apiece. There was not any change for the additional deduction for folks that were elderly, that being over age 65, or folks that are being blind, and then it is either $1,050 if you're married filing jointly, or $1,550 for those folks that are filing singly or as head of household. The personal exemptions, those have been suspended, so effectively that makes the exemption amount zero. They were not repealed, they're just suspended for these same years, December 31, 2017, and before January 1, 2026. So the key, one of the key things which JC will talk about relative to planning is to make sure that we get benefit from these tax items, namely the standard deduction, and that you want to make sure that your adjusted gross income is at least $24,000 if you're doing a married filing joint, because if you don't use those, you're going to lose that. There's no way to carry that forward. Just note that there was a change for kiddie tax, which is referred to. This is beginning after tax years of December 31, 2017, and this is relative to earned income of the individual, and that's going to be at the single individual rate. That was a change. However, the rates are now going to be, as you can see down at the bottom, the same as trusts and estates. So instead of having the seven brackets, we have four, 20 and 27, and we also break to the 37% bracket at $12,500. So it's become a little easier to calculate the kiddie tax if we have young folks working on the farm or are helping on the farm. But looking at the tax derived from those unearned sources, which sometimes are referred to as portfolios, such as interest and dividends, capital gains, which would be the sale of stock, for example, they're going to be taxed at these higher rates if they're above a threshold amount. Capital gains rates, these were retained. They haven't changed. They're still at zero. And that 0% capital gains are going to be for folks that are in the 10 or now 12% income tax bracket. And then the 15 will be for those folks that are in up through the 22 all the way up through the 35%, and then the 20% is going to trigger. Now, just note that the new law maintains the break points of the old law, and for 2018, the 15% break point is now $77,200. So if the taxable income is $77,201, then you have gone from the 0% capital gain rate to the 15%, that's that break point. And then the 20% break point is at $479,000 for married filing joint. Even though it's close to $600,000 before you break to the 37% income tax bracket, we're still using the old break points of the old law for where the 15 and the 20% capital gains rates becomes applicable on the return. And to think about it as a column of income, if you had farm income and then you have rental income and some interest and dividends, capital gains are going to be at the top, and the economists kind of refer to that as the marginal income or the last income received. So you have the whole column of income holding up capital gains, and then you look at the break points and figure out where it is, and that then determines whether you're in the 0, 15, or 20% bracket levels on your capital gains. Now moving into a little bit more of relative to farmers and what is the one of the hot topics that we have in farm country relative to taxation, and this is referred to as the code section 199 cap A, qualified business income, the QBI deduction. This is again temporary, and this is for tax years beginning after December 31, 2017 and before January 1, 2026. This is a new deduction. The old DPAD, Domestic Production Activities Deduction, was repealed, and then this was replaced with this 20% deduction. And this is going to be a flow-through, so it could come from benefit for estates, trusts, income coming from partnerships, sub-S corporations or LLCs, and sole proprietors. These entities, if they are conducting business they're going to be generally allowed to deduct 20% of their QBI, which in the farming context would be farming profits, and that's going to be subject to W-2 limitations of either 50% of the W-2 wages with respect to the QBI activity, or possibly 25% of W-2 wages plus 2.5% of the unadjusted basis of qualified property. Now, having said all that, most folks would like this slide, which means that if the adjusted gross income is $317,000 or less for married filing joint filers, or $157,500 for all others, so that's going to be singles, head of households, and married filing separates, that limitation, the 50% W-2 limitation or the 25% W-2 wages plus 2.5% of the unadjusted basis, is not going to apply. So the key to think about this is, if your adjusted gross income is less than $317,000 on a married filing joint return, you're going to be able to, if you're in a farming or ranching business, you're going to be able to enjoy the opportunity to take advantage of that. Here's a simple example to illustrate how this works. We've got John, who raises calves to finish weights, and then he sells these market animals through private sales. John's net farm profit was $20,000 in this example. John's AGI is $65,000. So obviously he's below $157,500. He's going to be eligible. John happens to be single. John's tentative QBI, that's the qualified business income deduction, is $4,000. That's 20% of the $20,000. And so you would see his AGI of $65,000 on the screen, less his standard deduction as a single individual of $12,000, less his qualified business income of $4,000, that deduction. So his taxable income now is going to be $49,000. Note that this deduction is against income tax. It does not apply against self-employment tax. This deduction of $4,000 will not show up on Schedule F. It will show up on the new short version, postcard version of IRS Form 1040 as a separate line, and be a deduction against income tax. Continuing with individual changes, just note that personal casualty and theft losses, these have been suspended for, again, tax years beginning after December 31, 2017, and before January 1, 2026. For North Carolina, as some of you may be familiar, we recently were visited by Hurricane Florence and Hurricane Michael. We have approximately 28 federally declared disaster counties. So folks that are in these counties that reside in a federally declared disaster area, they are going to be able to use the personal casualty losses. But if you're outside, for example, my county where I live is Wake County, just to the south of us in Johnston County. That's a federally declared disaster area. But if a tree had fallen, and there were several trees in my neighborhood that did fall, fortunately I didn't get one of those, but if a tree had fallen on my house, that would have been a personal casualty loss. I would not have any benefit because I'm not in a disaster area. Another change, this is the child tax credit. The new law increased that to $2,000 from $1,000 for each qualifying child under the years of 17. There is an AGI phase-out that does apply. That phase-out level has increased. Also, the refundable amount has increased to $1,400 per qualifying child. The taxpayer, farmer, rancher, is going to have to supply the Social Security number for each of those children. Additionally, there is a non-child dependent credit that was added, and that is in the amount of $500. So if we have, for example, a parent that is now part of our household and is a dependent, we are providing their care as taxpayers, farmers, would be able to take an additional $500 credit. And a credit is a dollar for dollar offset. So typically one would prefer a credit over a deduction, because the deduction reduces the taxable income at the margin, where this is a dollar for dollar deduction in actual taxes owed. And as you can see in the child tax credit, it's going to be up to $1,400 is going to be able to be refunded. The itemized deduction changes, big one is for maybe not Western states per se, except for maybe California, looking at state and local and foreign property taxes, as well as local and state income taxes, are going to be limited to $10,000. You may have read about this as a SALT tax, state and local tax, S-A-L-T. Also, mortgage interest is going to be allowed, but is subject to the indebtedness limitations of $750,000, on the acquisition debt of the principal residence. And as you can see on the screen, it is split $375,000 if a married couple decides to file separately. The home equity mortgage interest deduction has been suspended unless that home equity mortgage is used to acquire or improve the principal residence of the taxpayer. But if you use the home equity mortgage to buy a vehicle, that is not relative to the house. That mortgage interest is going to not be allowed as a deduction, and so record keeping, it would be very necessary to make that known. Charitable contribution deduction limits has increased, again, for the same time period, tax years beginning after December 31, 2017, as well as before January 1, 2026. That contribution limit is up to 60%, so now you have $60,000 that's eligible, and any excess is going to be carried forward for 5 years. And the rules for contemporaneous written acknowledgement have been repealed after 2016, as you can see on the screen. This gets us now to some of the suspended deductions. For alimony deduction, it's not going to be taxable to the recipient, nor is it going to be a deduction to the one that is paying it. This is for tax years after December 31, 2018. Miscellaneous itemized deductions, which are subject to the 2% floor, a lot of those are going to be, for example, unreimbursed employer expenses. So for truckers, for example, has been one industry that if they go out, those deductions are now suspended, and a lot of trucking companies have had to readjust how they pay their truckers that. Moving expenses, the piece limitations on itemized deductions, they were done. But note that living expenses for members of Congress were also suspended, so there was a little bit there. And there was the repeal of the Obamacare individual mandate that is begins January 1, 2019 tax year. Estate and gift, they were increased, essentially doubled. For 2018, the annual gift exclusion is $15,000 per donee. So each individual can gift up to $15,000 to as many donees as they are inclined to do so. There is the lifetime exclusion, which is at $11.18 million. A married couple has up to $22.36 million in that regard. Step up to fair market value was retained, so that means that if we have farmland that has a basis from original purchase of $1,500 an acre, the landowner passes away, the fair market value is now $5,000 an acre. The step up to fair market value is now $5,000, so any heir of that land would be able to step into an ownership, and their cost basis for tax purposes would be $5,000 per acre. The estate exclusion amount, because gift and estate taxes have been reunified, are, as you can see, they're the same numbers, $11.18 million per individual, or up to a married couple, $22.36. If there is an individual that passes, has a $5 million estate, then the surviving spouse can make the election to use the unused portion and carry that over so that that $6.18 million wouldn't be lost, and the full $22.36 million between the married couple could be continued on into the future for estate tax planning purposes. Now, I want to change horses a little bit and move into tax reform implications for business. And I'm noticing my time is moving quickly. C-Corps. C-Corporations now are exposed to a flat tax of 21%. But my former clients, we used to manage to a 15% tax liability on the first $50,000 that the C-Corporation would earn. So now that is at 21%. So that's an effective increase in tax of 40%. Just note that also dividends received deduction that are available to C-Corporations that decreased to 65% from 80%. And for the corporations, the alternative minimum tax was repealed for tax years beginning after December 31, 2017. The individual AMT is still with us. However, that AMT exclusion amount was increased. For expensing and depreciation, Code Section 179, which is the expense election, that was increased to $1 million with an investment limit of $2.5 million. Also, you cannot create a loss using an expense election, so you can bring your business income down to zero using 179, but you can't create a loss. Just note that some states, and North Carolina is one of those, they do not conform to the $1 million. North Carolina is limited to $25,000. SUVs are limited to $25,000 for the expense election. I put that in there for that little bullet underneath. I know that full-size crew cab pickups, typically half tons, with a short box, they are by definition SUVs because the short box is not 6 foot. Both the Ram, the Ford, and the General Motors products on their full size are less than 7 foot with the crew cab that would be defined as an SUV. Also, qualified real property now is allowed for Section 179. That would be on roofs, HVAC, any fire protection, security, or alarm systems that may be installed to shop buildings or other type of structures. They would qualify as well for Section 179. We do have bonus depreciation. That's 100% now for first-year depreciation from September 27th, 2017 through December 31, 2022. And it is now also allowed for new as well as used property. And then it's decreases, and then bonuses expected to sunset after December 31, 2026. Again, some states don't conform, North Carolina being one of those. So we're not able to utilize the full bonus. It depends on what you're trying to figure out, and I don't want to steal JC's thunder per se, but a tax planning strategy is to look at bonus and Section 179 together to see what is best in the long-term benefit of the business, not necessarily expensing everything today. Depreciation changes. After December 31, 2017, the cost recovery for agricultural assets for new machinery equipment is 5 years. Used equipment is still 7. Grain bins, fences, cotton ginning equipment, and land improvements are now 7-year assets. And we can also use 200% declining balance on 3, 5, 7, and 10-year property. We still have to use 150% declining balance methodology on 15 and 20-year property. And when I look at that slide as a former tax practitioner, I'll say thank goodness for computers that can calculate all of this and keep it straight for us. One that may affect some folks, but generally won't, is the limitations of business interest. Beginning after December 31, every business, regardless of form, so corporations, sub-S's, LLCs, are going to be generally subject to a disallowance of a deduction of net interest expense in excess of 30% of the business's adjusted taxable income. This is going to be determined at the tax filer level. So for the pass-throughs, such as partnerships, sub-S corporations, et cetera, those are going to be done at the individual. But note that for the pass-through, you do have to make a determination at the entity level as well. However, if you're at their gross income tax is $25 million, then you're not going to have to worry about that. There is that exemption. That's one of the nice things about tax law. There's an exemption or an exclusion for a lot of things. However, farming businesses, they can't elect out if they are in excess of $25 million if they use the alternate depreciation system, which essentially increases the depreciable life. So a 7-year asset becomes a 10-year asset in that regard. Single-purpose structures, poultry houses, hog houses, greenhouses, and dairy facilities, those would also look at be part of that calculation. There's a modified net operating loss deduction. Generally, the carryback provisions have been repealed, and now we carry forward with a deduction limited to 80% of taxable. For farmers and ranchers, the 5-year carryback had been law, has now been modified to 2-year carryback. Farmers and ranchers are the only taxpayers that can carry back losses. If there's any remaining NOL after those 2-year carrybacks, then that can be carried forward indefinitely. For losses that were created after December 31, 2017, again, that is limited to the 80% taxable income, and the future carryovers are also going to be subject to that limitation going forward. As I mentioned earlier, the DPAD has been repealed, and for businesses, the DPAD was replaced by the Section 199A, which is that 20% deduction of the qualified business income. We talked about that a little while ago in the individuals. C corporations are not eligible for this deduction because they got the 21% flat rate, and this was the to balance those things. Just note that like-kind exchanges are also limited. Generally, for tax years after December 31, it's going to be allowed for real property only, and this is for land that is not held primarily for sale, such as, and you see the parenthetical there, inventory for dealers. So in the future, trades of equipment and machinery and pickups, there's going to be a two-step transaction. There's going to be the sale of the traded-in item at the trade allowance, so that's going to be deemed to be the fair market value. And then the purchase of the new item is going to be what cash boot was plus the trade allowance, and that total amount is going to be allowed for Section 179 or bonus to offset the tax consequence of the now reported sale. So where do we go from here? IRS has been busy, as has Treasury, to issue guidance. We're still looking for some guidance. A lot of this needs some explanation. Treasury is going to continue to issue rules and regs pertinent to the new law. Over the next several years, however, I think some of these things are going to have to come through the tax court cases and then maybe also through the Court of Appeals process. And just as a historic note, prior to the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, IRS was issuing guidance relative to the 1986 Act, and they were doing that yet this year, and that's 32 years down the road. So even though it was passed in December, we've got a lot of questions. We have a lot of how we're going to do this, how is it going to be implemented. Some of the regs are forthcoming, and we expect further regs down the road. That concludes my portion. Jeff, I will turn it back over to you to introduce JC.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate that. That was a great presentation, and it just goes to show how complex the new tax code is, or even the existing one. That statistic you had at the end that the IRS was still issuing guidance from the 1986 bill is phenomenal. I really don't look forward to how long we're going to have guidance on this bill, but thank you. And we're going to hold your questions until after JC speaks.